It's been 1 week since Typhoon Haiyan devastated much of the central Philippines, but some of the worst-hit areas are yet to receive any aid. Graham Backhouse has more.
Efforts to relieve the suffering of millions of people affected by Typhoon Haiyan, for a variety of reasons, have been painfully slow. But some progress is being made, providing food, water and medical aid to the 500,000 people displaced. International assistance is beginning to flow to areas of need, but there are still areas that have received no help. Catherine Gearing is a disaster management specialist from the Australian Red Cross and has been working in the central Philippines for the past 3 years, assisting communities to be better prepared for natural disasters. Catherine arrived in Tacloban 1 day after Typhoon Haiyan struck. Catherine, what is the latest news from the devastated areas of the Philippines in regard to the relief efforts?
So the latest news from us here in Philippine Red Cross is that we've been able to deploy technical staff into the area. Relief has arrived via the port there that's still functional, and we've also had some trucks come in with relief goods, some water tankers and some clearing teams to help with the efforts to clear the area of debris. So relief has arrived and we're starting to distribute that relief now.
Catherine describes some of the difficulties they faced when they arrived in Tacloban.
When I arrived in Tacloban, I got there a day after the typhoon had struck, and we walked in about 5 hours climbing over a lot of the debris. The roads were totally unpassable, and they were for a few days. Still, some of the more remote roads are still unpassable. So I know when we came in, I was with some nurses and we were providing first aid and relief along the way. But the systems that are in place there, when we arrived, there was no fuel for vehicles or even for generators. Obviously, there were no goods, no food available, no water. Personnel, like the people who work for the government, I know I spoke to or I attended some government meetings, and many staff weren't able to report to work for the government, so they were hugely understaffed, and so I think now that, you know, those roads have been cleared, they have more manpower there, goods are really starting to come in more and are able to be distributed now.
Catherine says that the coordination of the relief effort from many agencies and nations is the key.
The coordination of a relief program must be a massive undertaking. How's the coordination going at the moment? How does it operate?
So I attended, because I was there the day after the typhoon struck, I was attending a number of coordination meetings, both initially with the government, and we were trying to, you know, discuss with the government about having safe and secure places to stock our goods at warehouses and trying to get some data on the impact of those disasters. So we were really wanting to discuss where our support could go, where other support wasn't. Coordination is key because the number of people impacted by this disaster is huge. I mean, there are so many people that have been devastated by this, that if coordination doesn't happen, then there are going to be communities that don't receive aid, and there are going to be some communities that might receive aid from a number of agencies. So ensuring that where we work is coordinated means that all of the agencies that are now going in can cover as much different communities as we can. So within a couple of days, the UN agencies were meeting. We were also meeting with other non-government organisations in the area to coordinate our relief efforts. So some of those and mechanisms for cluster groups, for water, for shelter, for relief, it was starting to be established. So coordination is going to be key and is really starting to get underway.
Catherine says that the Red Cross is addressing not only the immediate needs of the people, but also has plans to provide for the long-term recovery of these communities.
So, I mean, the immediate needs obviously are the food, water, shelter and health. And I witnessed that myself. I visited the hospitals. There weren't enough doctors. There was no electricity. There was no food for the patients or water for the patients. We've sent in doctors to support at the hospitals. We've brought in medicines to provide to those hospitals. So there's some of the immediate needs. Longer term needs, we're going to be looking at shelter, also establishing livelihoods for communities. I've worked with this particular community. I've been working there for the past 2 years. Australian Red Cross has been supporting some of the municipalities there in health and disaster programming for the past 2 years. And we will continue to do that work. This is an area we've committed to before the typhoon hit, and it'll be an area that we continue to support both during this relief phase and beyond. So this is a long-term support. Actually, the chap that we're talking about there in Tacloban, the only vehicle they have is the Australian Red Cross vehicle. So our vehicle is helping at the moment provide those goods, and we're going to continue to support that Philippine Red Cross chapter in Leyte province and also in Samar. We're doing work in Samar. So we're already there before the disaster, and we'll continue to stay on afterwards. This is definitely going to be long-term work for Australian Red Cross.